What is up, everybody? It is time for episode 329 of Logan's Lowdown in anticipation of my interviews returning later this year. Here we have another re-release of the greatest hits from the exchange, and this was episode 34. In this episode that was originally uploaded on March 19th, 2021, I talked with Garrett Taylor. Garrett is an old high school friend of mine and now operates as a DJ producer under the name of Circle 2. I think that's what he was at the time. Together we discuss leaving high school in the past, their combined fear of the ocean, COVID allowing them to follow their dreams, living in Arizona, returning to Edmond, Garrett's Frontier City, Chicken Tender Nightmare, making music, and many more. Garrett is a good friend that I honestly didn't see us being friends after high school. However, we've kept in touch. We followed each other on social media, and we've been in touch since. We'd catch up here and there, and then this time we caught up on the air, and it was a ton of fun. I know Garrett will be coming back as a guest that I do again in the future, and I'm super, super, super excited to talk to him again because he's a very interesting fellow, and he's great. Be sure to check out his music and all the things that he's a part of as well. So, yeah. Re-release of this episode. Can't wait to interview him again and hope you guys enjoy it. Thanks.
What's going on, people? What's going on? It's time for The Exchange with Logan Lewis. We've got a great guest today. Before we get to him, a couple things. I tell you this every week. Go to iTunes, subscribe. Make sure you're following along on the Instagram, Exchange Pod Log. Horrible handle. I acknowledge that every week. Probably will never change it. Make sure you've left that rating and review on iTunes as well. It gives me feedback. It tells me what you think. It allows me to hear your concerns. And what's the other one? I don't know. I forget. So everybody, the guest I'm talking with today is a guy, a friend I haven't talked to in... Shit. What am I saying? A fucking long time. He's originally from Oklahoma City. He currently resides in Edmond, Oklahoma. You don't live in Edmond right now, do you?
Actually, no, dude. I don't even ever think we got a chance to talk about that. It's probably been 5 or 6 years now since I've lived in Edmond. Like
you're in Arizona now, aren't you?
Yeah, I'm out in Phoenix, Tempe to be more exact, kind of closer to Arizona State campus. But yeah, we're out here in the desert, baby. Nice and cool right now, but it's about to get real hot here soon. So,
We live for that shit.
Yes, sir.
Before we get into it, some facts about him, man. He played competitive lacrosse. He broke his spine once, which I'm going to have to get the story. And now he operates as a producer and DJ under the name of Circle 2. Garrett Taylor's in the building.
Yes, sir. That's me.
That's you. Dude, what's going on, man? We've been putting this off for a while. I'm glad it's finally going down.
Yep.
And you're just chilling, man. You're in Arizona. You're in making music. You've got a cute ass dog back there. What's going on, man?
That's my girl. That's Luna back there. Yeah, man. Like I said, it's been a little while since I lived in Oklahoma City. I don't think when I lived there, I ever would have thought I would have been doing something like this. But, you know, life led me to this point. I came out to Arizona, no friends, family or anything out here, just started fresh kind of thing, tried to get away. And here I am. I started producing music, though, probably about a year ago. I think is about when I would say I started picking up on that. So it's been a good year so far as music stuff is related. It's definitely a weird time to kind of get into an industry where typically you are performing live, as a producer, I sit at home a lot. I live in my cave, basically in my room, and I make beats all the time. And, the idea is, I want to make beats that I can play for people live. And so it's definitely been weird with COVID and all that, choosing to start a career in music. But it seems like, you know, that might be something that we're putting behind us soon, at least the way everything's been going. So I'm hoping we get back to live music as soon as possible. But it's given me a lot of time to kind of hibernate, work on my craft, you know. So once COVID's all said and done and we get back to the live shows, we'll be able to have some good tracks to put out there and play, get your ass moving, hopefully.
Yeah, hell yeah. Yeah. So what got you, what made you, okay, so kind of rewinding, I almost want to watch, yeah. I want to ask so many different questions. So I moved away from OKC as well, but mm-hmm. I moved in between sophomore and junior year. What the hell was, what is the rest of high school like for you? Was it just same old shit?
Dude, high school was a time that it's just so hard to even think about the fact that high school happened, you know. It's just, it's so weird being out of it for so long and looking back on it now. It's kind of like a distant memory. I remember we had some good memories though back in the day. But yeah, man, no, it was good. You know, ended up graduating with everybody, and I don't know. There's not a lot of people that I still talk to from high school. You're probably one of like this a handful of people that I still talk to. There's a couple homies that, you know, I try to see anytime I'm back in town, but you know, most of that's kind of behind me at this point. You know, I don't know. It's been good getting out of high school and getting away from, you know, and I know you probably kind of know how it was, you know. It's good to be out of that and kind of more grown, and you know, I don't know. High school was an interesting time, that's for sure. But
yeah, yeah, I definitely can agree. It's I was actually back. I know I hit you up at the time. I went back to kind of revisit some old friends and kind of revisit. I hadn't been back since I left. Mm-hmm, five mm-hmm. or so, I don't even know how many years ago that was, a long ass time yeah. ago.
It
was cool. It was cool seeing the area again. It was cool seeing driving by the neighborhood I lived in, the house I lived in.
Yeah.
Talking
yep.
with some old neighbors that are still there. But in terms of like, you know, I was there for maybe 2.5-3 days max, and I was like, this is good enough. This
yeah. It's not somewhere, it's more of a place like, and I love Edmond. It's a beautiful city, man. But like, I feel like it might be a place that I move home eventually, like way later in life, if I'm like financially stable and everything. But,
yeah,
you know, I don't know, man, it's definitely been good to get away from, you know, Oklahoma City and just kind of branch out a little bit. I don't know if we ever talked about this, but I ended up actually living in Dallas for a few years before I moved to Phoenix.
Really?
And so at least when I was in Dallas, I got to come home pretty consistently, but you know, cause it's a very short drive, but now I'm on the other side of the country. It's pretty hard to make time to go back consistently. So I'm probably only ever home for, you know, usually like Thanksgiving, Christmas type stuff for like 2-3 days. And then I'm back, you know?
Yeah.
So, yeah. Yeah. But it's definitely refreshing to get out, meet new people, you know, outside of that echo chamber. You know what I mean? It's been nice for sure.
Yeah. What pushed you in that direction? Was there any other states or cities that you were like eyeballing, or were you just like, I'm going to roll the die, and if it, whatever it lands on, I'm going type situation?
So it's kind of a lot to unpack there. Dallas is somewhere that I always kind of wanted to live for a while. You know, cause being an OU fan, I would go down to Texas all the time, you know, for the Red River rivalry, if I could say that yeah. properly. You know, the game between, University of Oklahoma and Texas. And so, you know, I got to be in Texas a lot as a kid. So that's kind of somewhere that I always wanted to go. Phoenix was definitely a little bit different. It was more of just kind of like a random thing, to be honest. You know, Texas is a very fast state, I will say. There's a lot going on there. And, you know, I liked it a lot. Maybe go back to Texas eventually, but Phoenix is it for me for now. The weather is so much better. I feel like the people here are a little more relaxed. It's a little more spread out, you know. I don't know. I think Phoenix is definitely the coolest place I've lived so far, especially being pretty close to Vegas, because we get to go to Vegas pretty consistently now, which is nice. That was a little harder to make that trip back, you know, in the central area of the country. But, you know, California's right around the corner. We got Mexico just south of us there, you know, if you ever want to go to Rocky Point. So I think we have to go maybe an hour and a half to go skiing in the same state. Like, there's just so much stuff around. There's just so much stuff to do. It's very cool. A lot of outdoorsy stuff you could do too. So yeah, it's a very cool place to live.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm not sure if you, I think this is the order I'm thinking of, but I'm not sure if you knew. I lived in Phoenix before I moved to Oklahoma, back before high school, when I was in middle school, I believe. I lived in Scottsdale for a period of time, and yeah, just absolutely love the area. When I went back to OKC, I kind of had this like plan in mind to almost like take a bunch of trips and revisit a bunch of the old friends I lived, you know, in so many different places, and just visit old people that I hadn't talked to in years. And that was the plan, man. But then COVID happened and kind of brought all that shit to a halt. So, Oklahoma City just so happened to be the only place I got to go back to before shit hit the fan. But I'm sure I'll go back to Phoenix at some point. I mean, I love the area.
Yeah, no, Scottsdale is Scottsdale's fucking nice. I guess Dallas is a pretty expensive place to live too, but like Scottsdale is where I lived when I first moved here, and I actually had some roommates and we could afford a house in Scottsdale. Now I'm in Tempe, obviously, but Scottsdale is a very cool place. The first thing somebody said to me when I moved here was something along the lines of, you know, welcome to Snotsdale. And I was like, oh God, you know, I thought getting out of Edmond was going to get me away for that type of like mentality, but here we are. You know, and there's a lot of good people in Scottsdale, I will say, but, you know, it's a very, very cool place, I will say. I like Tempe a little bit better, to be honest. But Scottsdale is pretty sweet. When did you say you came back to Scottsdale last? Or you said you did not get to go to Scottsdale?
I worked at my last job, I actually made it out to Scottsdale for like one day because I made a quick trip. What the hell was I there for? Oh, I think I had a layover or something, and I just decided to extend my trip through like the Friday night, and I went and ate pizza at like Grimaldi's or something that. And I had to get some Grimaldi's when I was out in the area.
Grimaldi's is delicious. Yeah.
Only get to have it when I'm out in the area. So I had to make that special trip. But that was the last time I was there. And that was about a year ago, but I didn't get a full weekend or anything to really be able to go out and, you know, go do some outdoorsy stuff. Cause that was the thing, man. When we lived there, people, my mom's siblings, my dad's siblings would come just to be able to spend time outside. You know, they were all from Illinois and it was cold as fuck all the time.
No, all the time.
Yeah. So coming out to Phoenix and Scottsdale was just like, it was a joy for them. And we'd go to Sedona and the Grand Canyon, you know, the whole nine yards. Sedona is so beautiful too.
And it's so close. Like, you don't have to drive that far to get there. It's just like a couple hours tops. That's how accessible all those places are. That's why I love it. Yeah.
Yeah. There's a really cool place I recommend you to check out if you haven't checked it out already. It's in the mountains. It's in the mountains of Arizona. Uh-huh. But if you get a chance, go check out Jerome.
I don't know if I've heard of that before, but I will have to check it out. Yeah.
Check it out, man. It's a really, really small town. It's a really old town. It like based way back in the day. And there's actually a hotel. I'll have to send you a screenshot or something. There's a hotel there. And it's called the Jerome Grand Hotel or something, and it's actually haunted. And it's this big thing, man. Like, you can go in there and you can stay the night for free in the night in the room that, you know, the murder occurred and shit like that. Go check just after we're done here. Google Jerome Hotel experiences and stuff, and you'll see some shit. It's
like quite paranormal type stuff. Oh, like people claim seeing like ghosts and shit. I'm down. Let's do it.
I think the story was a couple back in the day got married and they were on like this horse carriage and buggy, and the buggy slipped off the side of the mountain and like killed the bride and groom on their wedding day. And
Jesus
people claim to see the bride like roaming the halls of the hotel.
Damn.
Like, to this day. Yeah.
That's pretty crazy.
You should check it out, man. It's especially if you're like a thrill seeker that I think you are, like, yeah, go check that shit out.
Yeah, I'm down, dude. I used to go to all kinds of places, like that. We had some haunted places that they talked about, at least in back in Oklahoma, some of the more rural areas. You may have heard of like the Purple Church. I don't remember if you heard about that place.
Yeah.
Back in the day. I don't know if you ever got a chance to go there. That shit was pretty crazy, but yeah. I
never got a chance to go there.
Yeah. And it's not really there anymore. Cause I don't know. I guess they like tore it down or something because people kept going, but I love me some haunted places, whatever it is. I'm all about it.
Hell yeah. So I actually think we as friends back in high school, we had an interesting friendship. I don't think we ever actually hung out outside of school unless it was, we played a shitload of video games together.
Yeah.
Right? We played Call of Duty nonstop.
We did all the time, bro.
Which was such an interesting relationship because it was almost like it was like a head, like when we saw each other in school, it was almost like a head nod, like acknowledging each other. Because to my remembrance, and of course this is high school, so it's not like any of this shit matters, but pretty sure you were in with the cool kids in high school and I was not.
I'll put it this way. I always kind of felt like somebody that didn't quite fit in with any specific group. And I just kind of, not to say like I played both sides because that entails like a negative connotation, but I would say I tried to be cool with everybody because I will say I did hang out with what I guess you'd consider the cool kids at times, and I saw unfortunately sometimes how shitty they could be to people that weren't in that group, and that was one of the harder things to see, and that's why I eventually kind of separated myself from those people. And like you said, it's high school. It's one of those things we put behind us, you know, because everybody was going through shit, growing. And, you know, I think hindsight is definitely 20/20. And there's definitely some stuff I wish I did differently in high school. But, you know, that was kind of the peak of where I was playing competitive lacrosse. And, you know, I actually had some friends that ended up playing collegiate lacrosse, which is, you know, I would say pretty impressive with how small the sport is. It's very inclusive, you know, and lacrosse took a lot of my time in high school. I think, you know, I spent 5 days a week practicing, and then every weekend we were traveling, you know, to go to different states to play different teams. So I didn't get, you know, I definitely enjoyed playing lacrosse, and I wish I maybe would have stuck with it longer. But that was a big reason for why I had no like extracurricular life. That's why you'd catch me playing video games all the time, you know, but that was after practice. I'm tired of shit, you know, hop on Xbox, we play some Call of Duty, pass out, wake up, rinse, repeat, go to school, practice, sleep, wake up, go to school, practice, sleep, you know, so it's just like an ongoing cycle there for sure. But yeah, I'm definitely glad it's behind me, to be honest. Yeah.
Yeah, I hear you, man. So help me understand where the music thing came from. So we weren't like super duper close, but I knew enough about you. Like I never knew that you were like into music like that back in the day, but like obviously things changed over the years. What made you why did you spread your creative wings in music of all things?
So if you would have asked me in high school, or if you would have asked me even 2 years ago, I mean, if music was something that I wanted to do as like a career, I would have told you no way. You know, I've always had a passion for it. You know, ever since I think I went to my first rave probably when I was 15, possibly. So, you know, I've been listening to that type of music for quite some time. I started out listening to more like dubstep type stuff. You know, that's when Skrillex was really big. I'm sure you know, like Scary Monsters and Nice Sprites, you know,
absolutely.
And some of those original tracks that, you know, everybody hears to this day, and it really brings them back to that moment. And that's kind of, it's completely the opposite of where I'm at now. Like, I respect that music and everything, and I'm glad that it kind of set me down this path, but I definitely don't listen to the same stuff anymore. You know, over time, my musical palate developed, you know, so, you know, today I'm more of into like house music, techno music, things like that. But actually when I moved here to Phoenix, I realized how strong the music scene was here. I met a lot of really cool people that were directly involved with, club promotion, and, you know, or I knew people personally that were just DJing some of these events and stuff, you know, and after kind of chopping it up with them, getting to know them a little bit better, they kind of got me into, you know, I guess they got me to a point where I had enough confidence to kind of try it myself, you know, and I got to say, shout out Blake, my buddy Blake. I met him at Oklahoma State through Alex Beckman, actually. I think you remember Alex Beckman. I met a good friend Blake through Alex, and he actually gave me my first copy of Ableton for free. Super solid dude. It's a very expensive program. Shout out to him for giving me a copy of that, because without him, to be honest, you know, I don't know if I would have even gotten started on it. But I had the program, you know, I'd hop on it every once in a while, plug in some sounds and stuff, you know, but I never actually made anything of it. And then, you know, about a year ago is kind of really when I put the pedal to the floor, I guess. And, you know, with COVID hitting and everything, I had no time, or I had nothing to do, but I had all this time, you know, so it's like, well, I might as well try to actually start making some tunes and stuff, you know, and that's kind of where it started roughly about a year ago. COVID hit, man, and all that time to start making music, it gave me a lot of time to really learn everything, and here we are roughly a year later. What is it, March 11th, almost like exactly a year ago is kind of when I first started. But
wow,
but yeah, it's been a weird long journey. I always kind of knew that I liked music, but it's only been as of recent that I wanted to start making it my own, you know. But yeah,
that's really interesting, especially just, you know, with COVID hitting, you know, a lot of people have had the time to take up passion projects and side hustles and stuff mm-hmm. like that. So yeah, I've always said, like, if COVID gave us nothing good, it gave so many people the opportunity to be able to flex those mm-hmm. creative muscles in them that they didn't know they had before, and
yep.
really be able to expand on the things that they're passionate about. And
yeah,
I mean, it helped me, it helped you, it helped some of my buddies that create content and music too. I got a good buddy that also kind of is in a similar shoe that you are, and he makes pretty consistent music. He's mm-hmm, mm-hmm. he makes pretty steady streams on Spotify and Apple Music every month. He's got a couple really good tracks. I'll have to throw you his name after this.
Definitely send it up
and shoot you some of his stuff. But yeah, it's given so many people that opportunity, and I'm sure like it couldn't have hit at a better time for you.
That's what's so weird about it, and like my heart goes out to everybody that, you know, dealt with loss from COVID. You know, that shit's not easy at all. I think most of my family has really contracted, and you know, thankfully none of them actually had any, you know, nobody passed away, I will say, in my family. So I'm blessed to be able to say that. And you know, I feel almost bad at times for feeling like this last year has been the best of life, because this has given me opportunities, but that's the reality of the situation. And like I said, it was out to everybody that, you know, maybe felt like this wasn't a step in the right direction. If anything, they're having a really hard time right now. I was, you know, very fortunate to be able to keep up. I know a lot weren't able to keep being. They either got laid off, you know, whatever it was, because of companies downsizing and everything. And, you know, with AT&T, working in sales for about 6 years of them now, and that's the day job, you know, that pays the bills while I'm able to do all this stuff on the side. You know, it's definitely been weird with COVID, but I will say it's the last year has been the best year of my life as far as just personal growth, you know, and kind of finding my path and what it is that I want to do, which is something that I've struggled with for a fucking time. You may be able to say, maybe not. I feel like anybody that says that they had it all figured out, you know, in college or going through college or even right out of college, people that say they got it figured out, bro, I don't know if I trust them, because you're always changing as far as like your interests and stuff. So I'm happy to say that, you know, at 25, you know, I feel like I found my groove literally. But yeah, it's been good for me, man. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, man, I can say the same thing. Anybody who tells me, you know, the people that actually do have it figured out and know, even when they're in high school, like, I'm going to be an engineer. And then even through college, like, I'm going to be an engineer. And then they graduate and become an engineer. Kudos to you guys. Like, yeah. Really, really, truly, I went to school and studied computer science, and now I work at a marketing agency. It doesn't make any sense. That degree, you know, as important as college is to some people, it's virtually nothing. You know, it's just a piece of paper that says that, hey, I can work. And yep. I tried for 4 years or 5 years. It took me 5 years to finish.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's just overly expensive and it gives people so much debt. And it's just, you know, it's hard to see looking back the pros of college, you know.
It didn't teach me
anything except how to be a group leader in group projects. Like, if anything, it taught me more social skills than anything.
Yeah. No, there's some people out there that, like, they go through college and, you know, fucking straight A's, whatever, and they get that job and then they realize, oh fuck, this is what I have to do, like, forever now. You know, so that's like like, person, I tip my metaphorical hat to you, sir, for even finishing. Like, I went for petroleum engineering when I first started, you know, being in Oklahoma. I feel like, especially like in all of our science classes growing up, they had all those speakers that would come out and teach you about like petroleum and like why that's a cool field to go into. So I was kind of like growing up thinking like, oh, petroleum will be a good thing to go into, having no idea, like, how, no awareness of how like volatile that industry is, you know. And so I got to college and I was like, yep, I want to do petroleum engineering, you know. And then went through about a year of that and was like, I'm not so sure anymore. Like, if this is what I'm pretty fucking sure, like, this isn't what I want to do, you know. And so I took a little break from school, trying to figure my stuff out a little bit, you know, came back for another year, went through finance, you know, started out a finance degree, and, you know, went through time with school trying to do that. And I was, you know, got to that same point where I was just like, I don't know, this, can I see this being beneficial to me in the future? Yeah. But is it appealing to me at all? No. Like, it definitely wasn't something I could see myself doing long term. And like I said, everybody that finishes college gets that job, like, all power to you. That's awesome. I just think it's okay to come to the conclusion that, you know, college might not be for you. You don't need to base your entire like success off of having a degree. You know, there's so many people that I've met in the last, especially the last 5 years, that have shown me like, you definitely don't need a degree to make something of yourself.
No.
You know, so, and it's something I battled with for quite a while, you know, oh, did I mess up by not finishing, or look at all my friends graduating and I'm not graduating, you know, but I'm sitting over here, you know, I have a beautiful house, you know, I mean, I get to go to work, make money, come home, make music. Like, that's all I really ask for at this point. You know, it makes me happy, and that's what matters at the end of the day, you know? So,
oh,
success,
yeah,
will come later. You know, you just got to work towards it. That's all it is. And that's something, yeah, I've been seeing over the last year is, oh wow, so if I really devote this much time and energy to something that I love, then like, people will actually support it. Like, what the fuck is that? Like, you know, so it's been cool. A lot of growth, you know, for sure. But
yeah, I completely agree. I went to school, you know, people parading around, you know, in high school, and they teach your class and they come in and they go, computer science is the next big thing. Every company is going to have a team of developers and they're going to run the world and you're going to program all these apps that are on our phones, you know, and it's going to be the biggest thing ever. And I was thinking, and they said, it's going to make you a lot of money because every company is going to need it. Yep. And I thought, holy shit, you know, little high schooler me was like a lot of money and technology. Like, of course I'm going to go into that line of work. And after being in school for a couple years, I was like, oh no, because not only is this incredibly difficult, I honestly don't know how I finished, man, to be honest. Like, if I cheated crazy. So much in school, dude.
Well, just
using the internet to help me through, because everybody I talked to, my dad just said, you know, just fucking power through it, dude. Just, again, that degree doesn't do anything for you besides tell, you know, some companies, like you just said, some companies don't give a shit if you have a degree or not. Some industries don't give a damn. I'm sure nobody's gone on around and asked, you know, Taylor Swift if she got a degree in music or whatever. You know, no one gives a damn. If you're good at what you do, no one cares where you came from.
Yep.
So I 100% feel you on that. So in terms of music, man, so you operate under this name of at least the one that I see most often is Circle 2. What was the inspiration behind the name?
I don't want to anybody here just preface to put it into perspective before I go into this. A lot of people don't know. I'm sure you've heard me, super big artist that at least away a few years back, super big inspiration of mine actually. I don't know if have you heard of Avicii before? He has the Levels song. Avicii, a lot of people don't know, if you search Avicii, it actually has kind of like a satanic reference. I think in reference to some sort of demon or something like that. And a lot of people don't know Avicii makes very happy, very uplifting music, but that's kind of a weird thing about him, right? So I kind of decided to take that same route, you know, making techno music. Typically it's a little bit darker. You're thinking of a nightclub, everybody's wearing black, you know, strobe lights, stuff like that. You know, I wanted to go with kind of a darker alias. So I don't know if you're familiar at all with Dante's Inferno.
Absolutely.
But yeah, Circle 2 is a reference to the second layer of hell, essentially. Basically, one of the more innocent levels of hell, where people that are, I guess, guilty of lust and living of this world, essentially. It's kind of the basis around that idea. So it's, you know, we didn't want to go down to Circle 9 where shit's fucked up. You know, that's where all the like crazy people are at. You know, Circle 2, though, it felt fitting. It was just below the surface type of thing, you know. But, and I don't, you know, I'm not a Satanist. I don't, you know, none of that shit, you know. But that's kind of where the name came from. I just wanted it to be something dark, something primal, you know, something like that. The other project that I'm working on is more of a minimal house, minimal techno project called Hot and Bothered. So that's my new, kind of my new, you know, Circle 2 is the one that everybody kind of knows about at this point. That's the one that I've been putting out most of my bigger releases under. But the Hot and Bothered project, I'm really excited about, because the idea with that is, you know, we're thinking pool parties, you know, sexier type genres of music, minimal house, minimal techno, you know, things like that have a groove, just the boots, boots, boots type stuff, you know what I mean? But yeah, Circle 2, Hot and Bothered, those are my two brainchilds at this time. But yeah,
I think a lot of people put a lot of emphasis on like what artists, like their names are. Like you go and look up like people like Post Malone, like pretty sure he said on like Jimmy Fallon, like a few years back, he was like, what was the name Post Malone? And he was just like, I literally just like looked up a rap name generator and Post Malone came out, and he was just like, okay. And like, and then there's other ends of the spectrum where, you know, there's bands like, you know, like Nickelback. I don't know why that's the first band that came to mind, but like,
God.
but why the hell are they named Nickelback? And then like, mm-hmm. why the hell are you called Circle Two? Like people put a lot of seriousness is in, and I know there's a community of people out there that are like, oh my God, his name is Circle Two. That references hell. I could never listen to that in a day in my life. And to exactly. those people, I'm sure you're like, begone. Then like,
yeah,
goodbye.
It's like, hey, I respect your opinion, I guess, but hey, it's not that deep. At the end of the day, it's all I can say. And you know, the people that fuck with it, fuck with it. The people that don't, and you know, can't please everyone. You know what I'm saying? Those people aren't for me, you know?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
This, uh-huh. Who, if you're going to pinpoint, so I guess your type of music isn't necessarily something that like a rapper or another artist would come on and almost like rap or sing on the beat, or you're making music for like people, like you said, dark ass room. It's people are just sweating bullets. Yes, yep. Exactly. Mm-hmm. But if you were to work with another artist, do you have anybody in mind that like snap of the fingers, if I said that they would be in your room making music with you, you'd say absolutely?
Oh shit. I mean, there's definitely some people that I could say, there's a lot of people, especially big influences of mine that I would love to work with. Now, when it comes to like techno music and the whole Circle Two project, techno, if you're familiar in any way, typically doesn't have a strong vocal in the track. You know, you vocal or something like that, or a phrase or something that repeats. So typically, you know, you're sampling stuff, but there's not a lot of people singing over it. Now,
yeah,
when it comes to the Hot and Bothered project, the more housey side of things, tech house, you know, minimal house, stuff like that, that is definitely something I could see me working with some actual people. You know, actually, I don't know. There's somebody actually, crazy how this actually ended up working out, but I don't know if you remember a girl named Nikki Smith in high school, blonde hair.
Yeah.
She's like a grade or two below us, but she actually has an older sister that I had never met before, but I knew she existed. And, you know, many years later, she actually moved out to LA, whatever. And she might be back in Oklahoma now. I'm not too sure, but I found out she does vocals and she's a fucking killer vocalist, by the way. Shout out Mood Ring for anybody that wants to go check her out, listen to her stuff. But I've been kind of back and forth with her lately, you know, potentially talking about having her sing over some of my stuff. So we've been sending some stuff back and forth, trying to get something in the works. But as far as like, you know, I guess people that are established, super, super established as far as like inspirations of mine, I don't know. John Summit is a really big one that you may have heard, that yeah. Deep End track that everybody's been playing.
Sure.
Would fucking drop everything going in my life at that point to work on something with John Summit, or even, you know, fuck man, Green Velvet. I don't know. There's so many awesome artists out there that I take inspiration from, but John Summit's probably like the one person that if you mention his name and that he's willing to work with me, I'd fucking say fuck everything. Like, let's do it. What do we got to do? You know,
absolutely. Mm-hmm. Quit my job, move to bumfuck yep. nowhere, move to exactly. Alaska.
I'll do it, bro. I don't give a shit. Sign me up. Yes, sir.
Cool, man. So yeah. there comes a point in every interview that I do with everybody, and I ask everybody the same 10 questions. And they're not hard questions, they're not deep, they're first date questions, if you will. It's just a mm-hmm. cool way to get to know somebody. And I ask every guest these questions just to bring it back. Even after, if you know, if one day I'm sitting across from Post Malone or Jimmy Fallon or someone of that nature, I'm going to ask them mm-hmm. these same 10 questions just to bring it back and kind of remind yeah. everybody, especially through these incredibly divisive and angry times, that we're all mm-hmm. the same. We're all just people.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So, are you ready, my friend?
Let's do it. Let's get it.
What, number one, what was your first ever job?
Oh, God. So, first job that I ever had, which there's a funny story with this. I actually used to work at Frontier City, if you remember.
Yeah.
Yeah. Very sad excuse of what most people would consider a theme park, I suppose. Oh, Six Flags over to this, you know. No, but it's a cool place, you know, being from Oklahoma, but that was my first job, and I actually worked in the food, I guess, portion of their operations. So I would hop around between the different little restaurants that they had in there or whatever, and, you know, cook chicken strips or flip burgers or, you know, whatever the fuck they wanted me to do. And I actually, I ate a chicken strip that I wasn't supposed to eat, but I was really hungry that day, and I ate a chicken strip, you know, out of the, you know, the chicken strips that we had prepared. You know, I took a little bite, and I went home that night after work, and I started feeling a little bit weird. You know, my skin started getting a little bit itchy, you know, my skin started to get red, right? Oh, I just smacked my mic there. Sorry about that. But yeah. And, you know, hours went by, I went to bed, I woke up, and I was like, what the fuck? Like, you know, I just felt all warm and everything. So I went to the bathroom, I flipped on my light, and I didn't even recognize myself looking in the mirror. I looked like fucking Dumbo, dude. Like, my ears were puffed out. My skin was all, you know, just puffy and everything. And I had to go and wake my dad up, and I was like, hey, you know, I don't, do you think I look okay? Like, does everything look fine? And he was like, what, you know, what is it? It's like 2 a.m.
Yeah.
So he was like, turn the light on, whatever. I turned the light on, and he looked at me, and he goes, oh shit. I was like, what does that mean? He said, get dressed, we're going to the ER. And I actually had a very intense allergic reaction to something in that chicken strip. That's the only thing I really ate that day, you know? And yeah, so I had an allergic reaction. I got hospitalized. I was in there for a couple days for like a crazy reaction. And, you know, so that was a very traumatizing experience. They, you know, the doctors were asking me all these questions. They're like, what happened? You know, what did you eat? What did this, that, this and that, you know? And I was like, all I had was a chicken strip at Frontier City, you know? And they're like, well, maybe don't eat the chicken strip more. So if you're listening, you know, and you like Frontier City, maybe, you know, that's all great and dandy, but just don't eat the chicken strips. Don't eat strips.
Take it from me. This opens up another question where not even on the list of questions, like, are you allergic to chicken strips? Like, was there just some kind of spice or seasoning or something in it?
Here's the logic. I consider myself to be a chicken strip connoisseur. I love chicken. I eat all the fucking time. Definitely not allergic. Right. So your theory that, you know, because I had to take a allergy panel after that, they wanted to see, you know, what I reacted to and everything. And I didn't react to a lot of stuff, only really a bunch of variations of different mold strains, which only implied to them, like, maybe the conditions where they were keeping this food was not the best, in which case, you know, they think maybe it was contaminated or something like that. So, you know, just don't eat any of the food at any theme park moving forward. I'm a little bit scarred from that experience, but
really, if me and you decide to hit up Disneyland in Hollywood, like, if I'm going in there and getting a chicken tender basket, are you like, I'll wait outside?
I'll wait outside, bro. But damn near the only thing I'll trust these days is a pretzel, dude. It's pretty hard to fuck up a pretzel, you know.
But, bro, I've always been the guy. My friends poke fun at me everywhere I go. Like, if I go try our new restaurant and there's a pretzel on that appetizer menu, you damn well know your boy's ordering a pretzel.
Yep. I'll take the allergic reaction if it means I'm eating a pretzel. But, you know, that's about the only thing I'll trust these days. Yeah. Dude, it's, yeah.
Nothing beats a good soft pretzel and some beer cheese or some queso or nacho cheese, dude. Like,
oh yeah, it's the best.
Fuck me up.
Yeah, but that was a hell of an experience. That's wow. For sure.
Did you quit after that, or was it like, well, gotta go back to work?
So the thing is, other thing that I kind of left out there, that chicken strip that I ate, like the third strike, I guess, in terms of my employment history with them, I actually got caught eating that chicken strip or that I was not supposed to eat. And that was kind of like the final straw. And I ended up getting let go from Frontier City because, you know, and actually it's just the previous two strikes were mainly related to, you know, being there on time, a 15-year-old getting to work in a car, you know, that's I had to. So I was kind of on my last straw, so to speak. they caught me eating that strip, and actually they let me go. And, you know, it was already kind of, I guess I didn't like being there, to be honest with you, but no, I didn't quit. They actually let me go because of that chicken strip situation. And then my, I guess my letting go present was an allergic reaction, you know? So it was a hell of a day. That's for sure.
What the fuck? Okay. next up, if you were an animal, what would you be?
Oh, dude, that's a good question. I've actually been asked that in job interviews quite a few times, which, you know, it's actually a question I've thought about before. But it's some kind of bird, most likely an eagle, like a bald eagle or something badass like that. Anything that flies, though, you know, I think being an animal that could fly. Probably it would be one of the coolest things.
It'd be the worst thing that, like, in the afterlife you get to, like, choose what animal you be, but you only get to pick the category. And you like, oh yeah, and like, knowing you just now, you'd be like, oh fuck, I'm going straight for being a bird. But then when you get back on Earth after, in the afterlife, they give you like a fucking penguin and you can't fly or some yeah, shit.
Exactly, that would be really shitty. The weird thing about it is I hate flying. So, like, it's a very weird thing. I don't know. I can't stand being on airplanes. It's
really,
I fucking hate it. And I have to fly all the time. And we just heard about that shit, that flight that was supposed to go to Hawaii or something. I'm sure you heard about. Yeah. And the whole fucking jet turbine fell off the plane and landed. And, like, I see stuff like that every once in a while. And I'm like, fuck. Well, I guess
it could happen to anybody.
Them, it could, but like, I guess if it happened to them, then the chances of it happening to me are pretty low because it's pretty rare that stuff happens. But
yeah,
and that I stuff like that, I see that, and I'm just like, fuck, why is flying such a necessary part? Like, why haven't we invented teleportation or some shit already? Like, come on, we got to get the ball rolling on that. Like, there's got to be a better way than flying. But, you know, I don't know. I don't like flying, but I'd like to be a bird. Very weird.
Hell yeah. Next up, I'm very, very excited to hear this answer for you. What's the best concert you've ever been to?
Okay. Let me retaliate with another question. So are we thinking concert where it's like you go to a venue, it's a couple hours, and then you leave that night? Or are we throwing in like music festivals with that category where it's like a collection of events? Like,
I'm going to
answer is different for that.
I'm going to say, maybe I'll rephrase the question to, what's the best performance by one artist you've ever seen?
Okay. Good shit. That's tough. It's really tough. I would have to say, so I went to Electric Forest in 2018, actually, which is a massive music festival out in Michigan, actually, up in Rothbury. And there's a guy that goes by Lane 8, who makes some very, very good music. If you haven't listened to him before, what the fuck are you doing? Pull him up right now. Check him out. But he played a two-hour set at Electric Forest on a massive stage with some very crazy visual elements to that performance. There's a lot of stuff that went into that I remember very vividly. You know, there was a storm rolling in that night right behind where the stage was at, kind of like my shirt right here. There's lightning striking all around as this concert was happening. It was one of the most surreal moments I've ever had, for sure. But Lane 8, Electric Forest, 2018.
Damn.
It's one I've ever seen. Yeah.
Okay. Okay.
It tied with Rufus Du Sol at the same festival, but a different night. Top two, I'll say. Yeah.
All right. Mm-hmm. What's dinner with three people, dead or alive? Who are they?
Oh, shit. Dinner people. Am I with them individually, or are we all sitting together and having dinner?
You're all together. You're okay. You're all at together. A table with the three of them.
Huh. That's a very interesting question. I have never put thought into something like that before. If I had to pick three people, I don't know. I would like to talk to somebody that was involved with like the founding of our country back in the day, like one of the like fucking Benjamin Franklin or something. I don't know. I'd love to pick his brain about some weird shit. So Benjamin Franklin as my number one. I would say number two, I would like to have somebody like Carl Sagan, which if you aren't familiar with Carl Sagan, he was a big influence for Neil deGrasse Tyson and his path in going into astrophysics and things like that. Carl Sagan is a very interesting dude that I would love to talk to. I could talk to him for hours, but he's a big guy that did a lot of scientific research into space and our universe and things like that. Space is a very intriguing topic for me, which that's a whole other rabbit hole we could go down. But if I had to pick a third person that I could pick to have dinner with, it would probably be, I'd probably have to pick somebody from the music industry today, or, you know, somebody prominent there. I don't know. Maybe like Tiesto or something, just somebody super, super big that's been in the industry for a long time that I can pick their brain about some stuff. But Tiesto, Benjamin Franklin, and who did I say? Carl Sagan. Those are my three. Yeah.
Okay. That'd be a great dinner. I want to be a fly on the wall and hear what you guys are talking about. That'd be
weird as fuck, dude. I can only see it now. Yeah.
Okay, next up. Do you know what I mean when I say the three words stand, mute, and cancel?
I think I do. Yes.
Okay. So we're going to play stand, mute, cancel with with queso, guac, and salsa.
Bro.
One of them you absolutely stan, the other one, take it or leave it, and the third one has got to go.
Give me my three options one more time. We have queso, we have salsa, we have guac.
Yep.
Okay. I guess stan has got to be queso.
Okay, that's right.
Undeniable. I feel like if you don't think it's queso, you're wrong. I'm just kidding. Everybody has their own opinion. But queso, for me, is the stan. I think mute would have to be guac. And it's not that I don't like guac. It's that they always charge a ridiculous amount at any place that you go that offers guac. It's always $3.50 fucking cents. Like, it's just mute that. I want to just forget it exists because I like it and it's just too inconvenient. And then salsa, as much as it pains to say me to say it, I think I'd have to cancel salsa because I'm a very particular person when it comes to salsa, and a lot of it I don't like.
Okay.
But some of it I do. I'm very specific with that. So,
yeah. Okay. Okay. Mm-hmm. I feel like the most common cancel is salsa, because while there are so many different types of salsa, like you said, like people are very particular about the kind of salsa they like. Is it chunky? Is it runny? Is it spicy? Is it mild? Like, there's so many different options that it's
green,
it's
red.
Almost you almost have to cancel it because exactly. It's too confusing.
Exactly. I agree 100%.
All right, let's go to the movies. So for next up, what's one movie you wish you could go back in time and watch for the very first time?
Interstellar.
Okay.
I say that.
Just have your mind fucked over again.
No, that's like one of my favorite movies to date. One, because of how scientifically accurate it is in a lot of aspects, but two, some of it wasn't super accurate and it was equally mind fucking. But yeah, that movie is like personally one of the craziest ones that I've ever seen, that even when I still watch it today, I'm kind of like, holy shit, that's a good movie. But when I watched it that first time, yeah, it was insane. I think that's go-to. Interstellar, 100%.
Pretty sure I went and saw Interstellar alone in the theater, and by the end of it, I was like looking around to see if anyone else was as fucked up as I was.
Yeah, dude, it's pretty crazy, especially that part where he's like flying through four-dimensional space and he's like looking through all the cubes and he's like peeking through the bookshelf at his daughter like 50 years ago or something. That shit was crazy. And like I said, space and time is a whole other, we could have a whole podcast about space and time, bro, to be honest. That shit fucks me up. So I think that's one of those movies that kind of really opened my eye in terms of like how big space really is and like how time, I don't know how time works. It's a very, very interesting movie for sure. Yeah,
absolutely. And speaking of the movies, next up, when things weren't on lockdown and people could actually go enjoy a movie in the theater, what are you getting? Are you a snack boy at the movies? Are you one of those fuckers that orders chicken tenders at the movies?
Or are you just chicken tender story? You know my chicken tender story. But keep going. Sorry.
What's your snack order when you're going to the movies, or when you're enjoying a movie at home with the girls, or with your boys, or whoever? Yeah. Like, what are you getting?
I'm a sour candy whore, dude. A whore for sour candy, sour gummy worms, those Starburst sour whatever. Ooh. Sour Patch Kids, and a large Dr. Pepper.
Oh fuck yeah, let's go.
With hella ice, because it's way too big of a cup, but I always get it anyways, and it's too much to drink.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Good answer. Yeah. What's kind of taking a deep turn. What's your greatest fear?
Now let me take another turn. I know I keep asking you questions for your questions.
I'm into it.
Is it a fear that, of something that I haven't experienced yet and I never want to experience, or is it a fear of something that I have to do regularly in life that I just deal with? Like,
oh shit.
If that makes sense.
It makes total sense. I don't know.
Realistic fears of things that I might have to encounter, or just like my worst nightmare, like worst case scenario of something happening that could happen.
So you could go both ways. Like, for instance, yeah. my answer, I have two answers. One of mine is like more of a metaphorical, like of just not being successful or not making a stamp in the world, or, you know, one of those. But then the other one is straight up like, you will not, and I repeat, you will not get me in the ocean.
Okay,
bro, I am absolutely fucking terrified of like not even just like swimming in the ocean, because like I'll go to the beach and I'll go out there and I'll get, you know, I'll get so far out there that it's almost like the lifeguards are almost like, come back, you're too far out or whatever. But but if we went out and got a group of people together and we're on a party boat or something, and it was like, everyone jump in, it'd be absolutely fucking not. I've seen Jaws. I've seen those movies, bro. There are sharks down there. And even if it's not a shark, bro, even if like a piece of seaweed like brushed up against my ankle, I'm going to scream like a fucking girl, dude. And just, it's more of just the fear of the unknown. Maybe like, if I look in the water and can't see more than 10 feet below me or to the left or right of me, like, sorry, it's just not happening.
I see where you're going with it. So I think if I had to pick one thing, I'm going to be pretty close to you. And that's what's so weird about, I guess, the way I think about things. Cause like certain things are so spooky to me and others are just super intriguing. Like the ocean, I would say, as fascinating as it is, like that's one of my biggest fears as well. Like I was talking to my mom about it the other day about going on a cruise or something. And I was just like, nope. Just like you said, I've seen Titanic, I've seen Poseidon, I've seen all those fucked up movies. Like, you know, if there's one place where shit can go wrong and you can get out of it, it's not the ocean. Like, at least if something happens on land, bro, you're on land. Like, you can fucking walk, you can hide, you can do whatever, bro. You're in the fucking ocean. You can't breathe under that water. You can't, you know, you got to stay head above water. You're floating, bro. And everything down there is usually much bigger than you. Even if, like you said, it's not like a shark necessarily. Like, there's a lot bigger shit than sharks down there that you should be kind of afraid of. But on the contrary to that, like, I was talking to a friend the other day about this, just with like, to circle back to space a little bit. They're talking about how they're about to start like commercial flights where you'll be able to go into space. And like, actually, you know, and we're talking, you know, I think Jeff Bezos is working on it. I see the look on your face. Maybe you've seen a little bit, or maybe you haven't. I know Elon Musk is talking about how we're going to be able to be taking rockets basically from the US to the UK, just like you're taking an Uber, you know? So like, I would say, bro, you can launch me into space and I would have no fear. I would go to Mars tomorrow. Like,
really?
You know, but the ocean scares me, which is so weird because that's like, we know the ocean. We've been living with it for so long. And space is like this, like you said, unknown. But I would love to go to space. I would go to space tomorrow.
What's funny about that is I would probably join you. I would rather go to space because space, thinking about it, it should scare me and it should scare everyone, but it doesn't scare me thinking about it other than like what you just said, like if shit goes wrong in the ocean and I'm all of a sudden like on a lifeboat or even like a raft or a canoe. Like something can just fucking come from underneath me and crush that canoe.
It's like, I think the fear of getting eaten alive by a shark is worse than like, I don't know, a rocket exploding in space. I just, I think I'd be so sick to go out in like a burning blaze of glory or some shit, like in a rocket, you know, but like getting eaten by a shark in the water, like fuck that. That just sounds, for some reason it's just different, like just I don't know.
Oh yeah, because at least if a rocket explodes and my insides are blown out, then at least that was pretty quick. Imagine just being in the jaws of a shark and like you can't do shit about it.
Yeah, dude.
Yeah,
fuck that noise, bro. I'm
hell
out.
No,
I'm out.
Oh shit. Okay, next up, what gets you out of bed in the morning,
dude? Oh man, I don't know anymore. So, some days it's hard for sure, but because I do like my sleep. But man, recently I've had a lot of friends, especially with like all the GameStop stuff going on, getting more invested in the stock market. And you know, that's something that actually physically requires me to be up super early because obviously New York, East Coast. Time zone that you're in right now compared to Arizona, where we don't do daylight savings. We have a little bit of a gap, you know, there. So, I lost my train of thought. Oh yeah. So stocks, that's literally what's been causing me to get up in the morning, tracking the market and everything. And, you know, it's a very stressful thing to be involved with, but you know, it is what it is, trying to get these gains, these percentage gains. But that's the only reason I'm getting up before 9 a.m. every day, because doing production and everything, I typically only make music at night. And so I'll be up until 2 in the morning most nights, and then I'll get up usually around 6:30 or 7 to watch the markets and everything. And then that's my day, you know.
But yeah.
And then...
Yep. And then lastly, if I snap my fingers right now, we are transported to a specific time and place in history to witness an event. What are we watching?
Oh, shit, man.
It's almost like, I guess, think of it like those old, like, what's that cartoon where like the when death visits you and you go with death and you just witness, like, you almost could like say like the day I was like born, like. You're watching while something is happening, or like I almost feel like I know that your answer is going like back to when the country was founded, because you made the Benjamin Franklin comment earlier.
Would have been interesting to see something like that for sure. I'm going to go a little bit a different direction than you might have thought. I think I probably, which that definitely would be sick to be at like one of the tables or one of those meetings where like the founding fathers were at. That would have been so fucking crazy to see, just like being alive now and how the world works. But I think if I had to pick one time and place to go back to, it would most likely be the falling of the Berlin Wall, whenever Pink Floyd did a set. They had this insane concert. I have a friend of mine, Thomas Jones, longtime friend. He's doing some cool shit artistically as well. So check him out. Tom Jones Art on Instagram. But his dad, I used to be at his house all the time growing up. We played lacrosse together. And his dad had in a glass case, a chunk of the Berlin Wall.
No way.
And he was actually at that show when Pink Floyd was there. And he was just telling me about like how fucking insane it really was.
Wow.
And just the atmosphere and, you know, obviously the Berlin Wall, we all know based on history, like what went into creating that wall and what it took to bring it down. I feel like that would have been a really insane part of history to see.
That's a really good answer. I can't believe he has a chunk of the wall. That'd be awesome. I definitely would want to go back to when they signed the, like, I want to know, like, after they all signed it, did they all just like shotgun beers or something? Like, what the fuck happened afterwards? Yeah. Were they just like tip and tiddly doo, or were they like, let's go fucking hard right now? Like,
I know. It's rage. Crazy. It's a piece of the fucking wall. It's like this, maybe like, it's hard to see because of the camera, but it was maybe yay big. You know, half the size of my head, maybe, and it had like spray paint on it, and like,
oh,
you
know, my god,
it said it, and it has like this little golden plaque on it or whatever that said like the wall 19 whatever year that was that happened. I can't remember the exact date. Don't crucify me, but yeah, you know, that I think would have been one of the craziest fucking things to witness.
That's amazing, Garrett. Mm-hmm. Now I'll let you plug. Plug away, plug what you've got going on. If you got something coming soon, tease us. What you got going on? What's in the hopper?
Of course. So, I guess as far as what I'm doing, you know, I actually have a live stream coming up. I want to say that's on the 28th of this month. For everybody, can tune into that because it's Twitch. That's going to be through twitch.tv/noface. They're a local collective that we basically got together. I guess it originated pre-COVID, but once COVID kind of hit, they've been doing live streams, which allows us to do the thing we love most, DJ for you guys put on a show, but it allows everybody to kind of watch from home. So that's probably something most accessible for everyone.
Sure.
If you are local to the Phoenix area and you are listening to this, I actually have a set coming up, my first nightclub event that I'll actually be playing, which I can't even fucking believe I'm saying that, that just because of COVID and everything, but I don't know why I said July, the 26th of this month, I will be playing Barsmith. Tickets are going on sale for that soon. So for my Phoenix locals, but I'm very, very excited for that. And then also one last thing, I have a couple other songs coming out under Future Syndicate Records, which are going to be under the Hot and Bothered project. So I have an official remix coming out for some good friends of mine on the label. And then I have an original coming out called Sensations, which I can't say too much more about right now, but I'm very, very excited about that one. So keep an eye out because that one's going to be a lot of fun.
But let's go.
Yes, sir.
Garrett, this was awesome, man. Thanks for taking the time to do this. Yeah. And I know we've kind of kept up in recent years, you know, just maybe even if we text each other maybe once or twice a year, just kind of dropping in and seeing what's up. I'm really happy for all the shit you've got going on, man. It's awesome. I can't wait to see what comes next for me, man. Give me backstage tickets if you ever make it.
I got you, bro. The guest list is yours, my man. So you got to get back here to Phoenix or Scottsdale, because there's some clubs in Scottsdale that I have on my radar that I'm hoping I get to play some events for here in the coming year. So we'll see what happens, but props to you as well. Forget me for a sec. You've been killing it with the whole podcast thing, man. You've been grinding on that. So tip my hat to you for that one, man. Keep doing your thing as well. Appreciate you giving me a platform to talk about me a little bit and tell everybody what I'm up to, but I'm looking forward to whatever you guys have coming out in the coming weeks as well. So
cool. Hell yeah. Mm-hmm. Thanks, Doug. Well, everybody, I'll throw some of Garrett's stuff in the description so you can easily find it. And yeah, like I said at the top, follow us on Instagram, rate and review us on Apple, and we'll see you guys next time. Bye-bye.